usual housekeeping. Now that we have recording in progress, I shall go through the housekeeping that we normally do when we have these Zoom committee meetings So, good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council's Resources Scrutiny Committee. My name is Ralph Cook, and I shall be chairing this meeting. This meeting is being held by video conference, and attendees will be accessing the meeting remotely. Attendees include members of the Resources Scrutiny Committee, cabinet members representing various portfolios, and and other officers from various sections of the council. Non-members of the Resources Scrutiny may speak, but not vote. When you are not speaking, please ensure that your microphone is on mute. If you have a mobile phone, please ensure that it is on silent mode. Please indicate your wish to speak by clicking on the Raise Your Hand button. No one should speak unless invited to by the chairman or unless raising a point of order. This meeting is being recorded and can be found on the council's website. So that's all the bits and bobs down there. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this Resources Scrutiny Committee. We're going to take the first item is apologies. Oh, minutes to begin with. Do you all agree the minutes of the last meeting?
Chair.
That was the 11th November.
Chair, Mark Whittington. I'm substituting for Councillor James Nixon. Could you clarify, am I allowed to vote?
As a substitute, yes, you are. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, if we were a task and finish group, you wouldn't be able to substitute and therefore you wouldn't be able to vote either.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarification. Thank you.
Okay, right.
Chairman, yes. I'm sorry to interrupt there. I wonder if I have a vote as I've been invited as a panellist and the community resources.
Yeah, we had invited the chairman, hadn't we, of the other two scrutiny committees.
Yes.
My own view, therefore, is certainly on the budget, because you would have a say in that in your own committees normally. I'd be inclined to say that you have a vote. But I'm looking at Andrew.
Andrew seems to have disappeared. Oh, there he is.
I can see him. He's shuffling around, you see.
Can I just double check with Ian Curran?
Because yeah, that might be a good idea.
I don't think so, but I'll check with Ian.
This is a Resources Scrutiny Committee, so it is just the committee members. But obviously, we've got a protocol here. We're trying to be inclusive, and we've invited the chairman of the other communities. So obviously, you'll have regard to their comments. But the voting members are just the Resources Scrutiny Committee.
Okay. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Just on that one, Chairman, we can speak. We can speak, not vote.
Yeah, you're not a member of the Resources
Scrutiny. You
can speak, but you can't vote.
Vote.
It's lovely to see you, Councillor Cannon.
It's happened before. That's an in-joke for the...
Okay. It's lost on right. me. So now we've got the minutes of the 11th of November. Would you all agree with them? Just sort of generally wave or something. I think we'll take that as an agreement. Right, then we come on to apologies. Andrew, we have some apologies?
Certainly. Councillor James Nixon, who's substituted by Councillor Mark Whittington this evening, and from Peter Roycroft, who's substituted by Brian Cross this evening.
Right. Thank you very much indeed, and welcome to the substitutes as well. So we now move on to public question time.
That's nil.
Councillor Session.
That's nil.
Called in items.
There are none.
And members' items.
Which is Councillor Godfrey, Chairman.
Councillor Godfrey. So Councillor Godfrey, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Chair. The question is set out in the agenda. And I'd just like to see where we're up to with our procurement and what's actually changed in the last few years since this committee looked at it.
Right. I think, Judith, are you going to take this one?
Yes, I'd be happy to, Chair.
Oh, that's a relief.
So the council's procurement arrangements are set out within our procurement regulations. They were, the last full review of that we had was in 2016. We've not made any changes to them then, so they are due for an update, and we do intend to do that this year. It'll probably be a fairly minor update this year, because we are waiting on some new legislation to come through that will set out changes following our exit from the European Union. So we may still need to do further changes once we have a clearer understanding of that. But there will be a change this year, and you know, we can advise members accordingly.
Right, thank you very much indeed. Councillor Godfrey, do you want to come back on that?
If I could please, Chair. Obviously, as Judith has mentioned, there's going to be some changes this year due to events outside our control. I think it's worth this committee taking a close look at procurement, because obviously at the moment our finances are not in the healthiest of states, and we're not going to get any better. So procurement is something that we need to keep on top of. So with your permission, Chairman, I just wondered if I could ask the committee if maybe we could do what we did a couple of years ago. And when I say a couple of years ago, it's probably more like 10 years ago. Actually have a task and finish review on procurement in Staffordshire Council, and obviously with our neighbours at Cannock. I'll open that up to you, Chairman, if the committee is of a mind. I think it would be a good idea to actually have a task and finish on this subject.
Committee, would you agree to that? It seems that it's been some time since we had a look at this, and it would seem to fit the purview of the resources scrutiny very well. Can I take as a general agreement for a task and finish group?
Chairman, Councillor James.
Councillor James, I've seen your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I was just going to comment that seeing as there are minor changes to be made later in this year, might I suggest that we delay any decision on having a task and finish until those amendments are made and we're aware of them. Having a task and finish now would be, in my view, a waste of time until we know what the outcome of the the proposed changes are.
Can I ask Judith, thank you very much, Councillor James. Judith, when are we likely to have some information?
I haven't actually discussed it with Ian yet, because it's a shared responsibility that I have with Ian. But I personally, my own timetable, it's more likely to be around the summer because of other things that we need to complete before then. So it is going to be a few months away before I'm able to do that, start that piece of work.
So you're looking to getting that information in the summer, then you'd need to do process the stuff anyway and all the rest of it.
Yes.
Councillor, where is he? Oh, Councillor Godfrey. Yes, you've got your hand up. Do you want to come in? Councillor Godfrey?
Well, thank you very much, Chair. Didn't hear them. So I take on board what Councillor James has said, and I understand his reasons for saying it. The thing with a task and finish review, it's a process. It's not just a one meeting. It's something that actually evolves itself. So you start off with an initial meeting, which sort of sets the groundwork of what you'll be actually doing, and then subsequent meetings then actually put a little more flesh on the bones. I think if you look at the next resources meeting, it's quite some time away, isn't it, Chair?
June, I believe.
Yeah.
February. There's February and then June.
There's one in February, then one in June. Not on that. So you've got quite a gap between the February one and June. And I think it would do no harm to get the ball rolling. I do accept what Councillor James says. There are changes. But I think those changes could be looked at the same time as they're actually happening. So I think we could be of use to Judith here as members, and I think what we ought to do is set up now and get the process rolling.
Right, thanks very much indeed, Councillor Godfrey. Councillor Smith, you've got your hand up as well, I see, and then Councillor James.
Thank you, Chairman. Really all I wanted to say was much of our procurement process is via the County Council, and until they have changed their systems to deal with the changes that have been forced on by the exit from the European Union. I tend to agree with what Councillor James has said. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but I think it's a little bit premature.
Right, Councillor James?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Councillor Godfrey is right that we should look at it, but I still believe that we should wait until the summer before setting up the task and finish. I have no objection to setting up a task and finish, but I think we should wait until the summer until we've got some more information.
Councillor Godfrey?
I think, as I say, I won't go back on what I've said. I think it is a process. I think we have to start that process now. And it will gather pace as the year goes on. And like I say, we do need the preliminary meetings. I just think we could do this now. So I would hope that we could start it now.
All right, thank you, Councillor Godfrey. Councillor Winnington?
Okay, thank you, Chair. To me, it sounds a bit sort of immediate, let's start it now. It's something that I would suggest as a normally non-member of resources that all councillors get a chance to sort of look at it and possibly put their input in and then have a scoping meeting in February that starts the process then. To start it now seems a bit off the cuff, but that's just me, and I apologise for saying that, but that's my view.
Councillor Winnington, you mentioned starting it in February. Do you mean February of next year?
I think it's February this year we're talking, aren't we?
Well, actually, February is the next meeting of this scrutiny committee. I don't think Councillor Godfrey is suggesting that it should be in February. He's suggesting we perhaps look at it in summer, perhaps. When there should be more information about. But I don't think anyone's suggesting we kick this process off in February.
Yeah, apologies.
Am I right, Councillor Godfrey?
I'll just take my hand down, Chair. Absolutely right. I think, like I say, you've got quite a long gap between the February meeting and your next meeting, which is in June, I believe.
June.
And I say, I think you can, you know, maybe there was one thing about task and finish meeting. They do meet independently of the resources scrutiny committee, because what they do is then they report to the resources scrutiny committee, as with the review of the constitution. So it does no harm in having an informal meeting, maybe in between the February and the June meetings, just to get the ball rolling.
Right, Ian, you've got your hand up.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, you've got your work programme coming up as an item later, so you know you can put it on as a future meeting, as a future item there, and then you can, at your February meeting, you can have a look at the work programme and see whether we know more as to whether fit it in. Just as a general guide, there was a green paper from the government on procurement changes that went out for consultation only recently. We're not likely to hear the results of that by February, I wouldn't have thought. So they're looking at finding parliamentary time this year to try and enact some changes that are more likely to come in next year. So that's where we are with sort of major changes to procurement legislation. So I would advise it, if you do want to look at it, put it on your work programme, and we may know more by February. We can give you an update then.
That seems like a useful suggestion. I mean, I think the idea, what do you think of, how do you feel about that, Councillor Godfrey, because seeing as you've raised it, Ian suggested that we put it onto our work programme, so it's there as a task and finish group, and then we activate it as and when. You're muted.
I'm muted, yeah. So as probably to great relief of everybody, it was muted then, but yes, I'm quite happy with that. It's a good suggestion for me, and I think it will move things on. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much indeed. And we can put that on when we come onto that part of the agenda. Okay, well, thank you very much, everyone, for that. And now, let's move on to the meat of this meeting, the red meat, if one might even say, on page 4. And this is the General Fund Revenue Budget and Capital Programme 2022-25. One almost feels a sort of ta-rah coming on, really. And we're fortunate that we have an officer who hasn't been with us before, and it's Tim Willis. I'm trying to look for him here. Yeah, There's so many, but I can't see where they all are.
I'm here, Chair.
Oh, there you are. Thank you for lighting up. Yes, that's helpful. When you speak, you light up. Yes, that's very good. Well, thank you for being with us tonight, Jim. You're leading on this one, pleased to say. Tim is the interim head of finance, so you won't have met him before, but he doesn't bite too much, so that's fine. So, Tim, would you like to take this paper, do what you will with it, tell us all about it, and then we'll have questions.
Yes, thank you, Chair. This report sets out the proposed budget for next year, for 2022-23, and also indicative budgets for the following 2 years, 23-24 and 24-25. It covers both revenue and capital, as well as detailed statements for portfolio budgets, council tax and business rates. The budget assumes a council tax increase of 1.9%, which is in line with existing Stafford policy. And the increase is below the threshold that would require a referendum. In general, the 22-23 general fund budget is a continuation of the 21-22 budget. The government has decided to delay what will be a major review of local government finance to 2023. This will have a significant impact on our 23-24 budget and beyond, and the report attempts to project what this might mean. Indicative budgets for 23-24 and 24-25 are proposed, but there is a large amount of uncertainty here. In section 6 of the report, there highlights the main budget issues and adjustments, including inflation that's been taken into account in pay and non-pay. And also it refers to the fact that income from green waste collection is predicted to continue to support the budget, which is particularly useful in light of the predicted loss on car park income. In section 7, we itemise the impact of the local government provisional financial settlement. Whilst many grants that were received in this year, in 21-22, have continued into 22-23, they are all subject to review, the review that I referred to earlier, and some are specifically flagged as one-off. I point out that the settlement is provisional, so it could be amended in the final settlement, but evidence from previous years would suggest that this is unlikely. In section 8, it provides a summary of the revenue budget and also explains how the proposed budget compares to what we predicted for 22-23 this time last year. And it also explains the movement between the proposed budget for next year and the 23-24 indicative budget. Section 9 describes reserves and balances, and section 13 provides some commentary on what I'm summarising here. Members will note that there are predicted shortfalls when comparing forecast income against forecast expenditure in 23-24 and 24-25, and this is of some concern, and discussions are currently in progress to identify how we can ensure that the budget position will be in balance in the medium term. Whilst not being complacent, it's worth emphasising that the cause of the projected shortfalls is the anticipated impact of the government's new financial regime. And very little is known about the government's thinking in this regard. And I'd emphasise that the uncertainty behind the projections. Given this uncertainty, it's proposed in the report that rather than recommend budget savings now that could have a detrimental impact on service delivery, it's better to monitor the government's policy position and keep the forecasts under review. And ideas will be developed over the coming months that can be implemented with effect from 23-24 if the need arises. Approval is also sought for the capital programme, which is set out in Appendix 2. And my colleague Emma Fulliger, who joins us, and I are happy to answer any questions that the committee might have. Thank you, Chair. You're on mute.
Yes, I'm not now. Thank you very much indeed, Jim. And welcome to Emma as well. I didn't notice your face amongst all the others. Lovely to see you back. So I hope you enjoy the meeting. Okay, members, we've now heard from Tim a summary of all those pages. And what I intend to take them page by page so that you all feel that you have time should raise any questions, any comments, or whatever you have about them. So I'm going to start on page four. Page four. Okay, page five. Oh, hang on, there's a hand up. Councillor Godfrey.
Good chair. Some clarification, please. Maybe Tim or the cabinet member Mike might be able to help me on this. The indicative budgets for next year and the year after, basically, it's just a finger in the air, isn't it?
I can answer that, Chair.
Right.
I suppose professionally, I'd like to say I do more than just a finger in the air, but I do want to emphasise that they are my professional judgment. In my professional judgment, this is the best guess that we can come up with right now. There really are a very large number of variables. On the one hand, you want to be prudent to make sure that you're not anticipating government funding that doesn't materialise. On the other hand, you don't want to be ultra cautious and come up with a huge budget problem that's looming over us within the next couple of years, which then prompts everybody to go into panic mode and start making decisions which might not be required as the time passes by. So I would say that they are indicative. They are best guesses based on professional judgment, but I wouldn't necessarily, as I explained in my introduction, I wouldn't necessarily suggest that members should be instigating action now in respect of 23, 24, 25, 24, 25 projections.
Okay, thank you
for that. So I wasn't actually having a go at your professionalism as well. It's more the government. I think you do absolutely marvellous in coming up with something with so little information. And I say it is to your credit and your colleagues' credit that you can actually come up with something, because the government are giving precious little away. In fact, we said that last year, and it seems to be worse this year, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Godfrey. Now I've got Councillor Kemp and then Councillor Dodson.
I want to speak on page six when you get to it, Chairman.
Oh, right. Oh yes, you're going. Yes, you have to wait there.
Speed.
So, Councillor Dodson. Councillor Dodson, you're on.
Good evening, Chairman. I'd like to speak on page six as well.
Oh, right. Okay.
Well, specifically, point 6.2.
Okay, fine. So, we're still on four. Now, moving on to five. Page five. I've still got hands up. Councillor Godfrey, you speak on page five?
Yeah, just a couple of things, Chair. A couple of comments more than anything. One of these rare times where we can actually agree with the administration, the working balance of £1 million, we fully support that. And I think that deal, we would do exactly the same. One thing I'd quite like to ask on the H, on page five, is inflation. Now, obviously, you've worked in 3%, but the way things are going with a recovery, hopefully a recovery from the pandemic, you would assume that inflation will start to rise. And by the end of this particular budget, it could be as high as 6-7%. Could you give us some thoughts on how the budget will look maybe in 8 months' time, if that is the case?
Yes, I think inflation is yet another variable, which in recent years we haven't really had to worry about that much because it's been so low. I think that the way in which we can mitigate the effects of inflation from the council's finances point of view is, although some of our income is we're tied down to less than 2% on council tax, for example, at least we can vary the increases on fees and charges that can be broadly in line over the medium term with inflation and the impact that has on our costs. So inflation generally is not good for organisations where their income is relatively fixed, because if inflation increases their costs dramatically, they can't do anything about their income. Now, for a local authority, we're tied down because of the referendum rules about our council tax increases, but we can increase our fees and charges. And I think 3% generally is a reasonably high increase for fees and charges in comparison to perhaps the past. But that does reflect to some degree the high levels of inflation that we're running at the moment, sort of 5% plus potentially. In terms of longer term, we do take some advice on the economic outlook on things like inflation and interest rates when we're looking at treasury management, our treasury management strategy. And the general view insofar as anyone is willing to predict economic forecasts is that although inflation might be high in the very short term, it will moderate over the medium term. But I'm not an economist, and I think it's, again, another one of those variables. If inflation does rise quickly, that will have a detrimental impact on us because our costs will rise fast and there'll be pressure on paywalls as well. And then we would have to deal with that in next year's budget and financial plan over the subsequent 3 years.
Right, thank you.
So if I can follow on from that, Chair, if you don't mind. Just to think that through. If inflation does become a problem and there's nothing we can really do about it in this year's budget, I accept what you say on that, doesn't that add to the pressure of the year after's budget?
Yes, it does. I mean, we would hope that any government support that would still be forthcoming would recognise the increase in inflation. But because there's so much uncertainty about local government funding off central government, that's just another variable to throw into the mix. I think in general terms, inflation is the enemy of local government finance because of the our inability just to increase our income to compensate for the increases in costs. But yes, all we can do is from one year to the next, try and do what we can to contain our costs if they're rising fast because of inflation. All we can do is look at things like improve our efficiency in the short term, but then over the medium term, we would have to factor in the additional costs arising as a result of inflation in next year's budget.
Thank you.
I would have thought, actually, that inflationary expectations are particularly important because that then begins to bake inflation into the system. If people expect prices to go up in the future, then they adjust their behaviour, which actually creates self-fulfilling prophecies. Which we all suffer from then. Well, that got you all silent, didn't it, right?
Yes, okay. There speaks an economist.
Right, well, now, hang on, I've got people here. Councillor Kemp and then Councillor Dodson. You both had your hands up.
We take Councillor Dodson first because he wants to talk about something before
Are you a mind reader, Councillor Kemp?
No, sir.
Councillor Dodson, over to you.
Thank you, Chairman. I specifically was looking at 6.2 on page 6, where a specific measure for CPI states remaining at 2% for the duration of the budget and going forward. Most of the questions being already answered, but I would point out that CPIH is actually 4.6% right now. And we have fuel impact coming through on that, as well as all the pressure on input prices being caused by supply shortages. So the likelihood of a CPI above 2% is actually now quite firm. But we've already had commentary on our likely response. And unless there's any further that needs to be said about it, I'd leave it at that. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Councillor Dodson. Councillor Kemp?
Sorry, yes. Could I just add something?
Oh, sorry.
I would just add that if the sort of the standard increase is our assessment of CPI over the medium term, 2%, but we are including larger increases to reflect the higher inflation in areas like utility costs, and also on contracts where the contract demands what the payments are inflated by, then we've made a provision for whatever the contract says rather than what we think inflation might be. And the other area I would just mention is on the capital program. Although in general, the capital program, we're fixing it for next year, like now, the capital program can factor in a degree of cost inflation by whatever we build into the programme, and there are normally contingencies built into capital projects in any case. So there is some headroom and some mitigation for inflation above and beyond the standard 2% that we might have assumed over the medium term.
Okay, thanks very much indeed, Jim. Now I've got Councillor, I'm going to take Councillor Hood, Councillor Pardesi, Councillor Godfrey and Councillor Kemp.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd like to comment on 6.6 with the community for funding the Warmer Homes Initiative. I think with what's about to come in April, with the threat of almost 50% increase on energy bills, it's extremely worrying that our residents are going to find themselves, some of the residents, in dire straits. And we've heard this so-called, I mean, maybe it's a slogan, heating or eating. And I just wonder, is 16K going to be enough for the overwhelming response that we're actually going to have hit the Warmer Homes Initiative? It's quite comforting to know that people can apply for this funding, but, you know, how many people are we actually going to have come to us for this Warmer Homes grant, and can we cope with the amount that we've put forward? Thank you, Chairman.
All right, thank you, Councillor Hood. Councillor Pardesi.
Thank you, Chair. On 6.2, the provision for the 10% for the increase in utility costs, if that includes things like gas and electricity, I'm wondering if a provision of 10% is realistic. And secondly, on 6.6 on the Warmer Homes initiative, this needs a serious rethink, Chair, and we need to be doing everything we can to make sure, first of all, that £140, which hasn't seen an increase in 5 years, that we do all we can to make sure that that amount is increased and that it's targeted at every single vulnerable person who needs it, which it isn't right now, because we are seriously looking at more deaths from the cold than in previous years. Thank you, Chair.
Right. Thanks very much indeed, Councillor Pardesi. Tim, do you want to make any comments on what you've heard of those couple of speakers?
Nothing specific, but partly because I don't know the backdrop to the numbers that receive benefits from the Warmer Homes Initiative. As regards whether or not the 10% is realistic on utility costs generally, some of our utility costs will be contractual, so they won't vary directly in proportion to the market price of gas and such like. But I acknowledge the point that there is pressure there. And I know my colleague Emma Fullager wants to come in, which she might be able to help me out on some of this.
Thanks, Emma. Emma, would you like to come in now?
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the energy costs themselves, as well as looking at the price inflation, we've also looked at consumption and usage, and we review each site on an individual basis and look at what we've got. And we also purchase a basket 6 months in advance. We may not have had that exposure yet, so at the moment we've done the most reasonable budget that we can, taking into account the occupancy, and obviously it's something that we'll keep under review as part of the monitoring process.
Thank you very much indeed. Okay, Councillor Kemp, and then sorry, Councillor Godfrey, then Kemp, and then Councillor Winnington.
Thank you, Chair. A couple of comments on page six. One at the very top, which was the pay award, and it's 1.75 has been declined. Provision has been made for 2%, which is good. Except, I think that the pressures that our staff have been under for the last couple of years with this pandemic, 2% seems a very, very poor increase in wages to me. That's a general comment. On the environment, on 6.6, obviously there's £521,000. I assume that's the brown bin tax that's been imposed on the people of the borough. And that's obviously on top of any increase on their council tax. So if you think you're £165 for the band D on your council tax and you're paying £30-odd for your brown bin, you can see that's an enormous percentage increase on your tax burden from Stafford Borough Council. But it also is needed, I suppose, when you look at the accounts that are put forward to us today, because of the reduced income from parking. And it also shows you how dependent Stafford Borough Council is on fees and charges, that when parking takes a hit, our finances really do take a hit.
Thank you, Councillor Godfrey. Now, I've got Councillor Kemp, Councillor Winnington and Councillor Price.
Right. Yep. Mine is on 6.6, and it's really this business about planning and the soon fall in the parking income of 559K and a transfer from the resources of 247K. For parking income provision. But can the officer explain that? Because looking at page 34, which is to do with the planning and regeneration, I'm puzzled. But when I look at the off-street parking services, would you like to talk about it now, or somebody talk about it now, or talk about it when we get to page 34, Chairman?
Right, I'm in the hands of the officers.
I suggest we talk about it when we get to that page.
We'll keep it to page 34 then. So, Councillor Kemp, we'll do it on page 34. Bookmark that if you would. Okay, So now we've got Councillor Winnington and then Councillor Price.
Just a very quick one from me on 6.6. And again, it's back to the Warmer Homes Initiative. I would presume that 16K is going towards the Warmer Homes Initiative, which is actually a county-wide initiative, which is with other partners, including the energy firms, who are inputting some of the green tax back into houses. And of course, I would say this, but please remember that while there's some areas in the town that suffer from heating, the rural areas, and some of them have got real fuel poverty, and it's something we should all be looking at. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Councillor Winnington. Would any officers like to just sort of clarify that point? What does this £16,000 cover?
Through you, Chair, I do believe it's an agency for people to be able to divert and signpost people to. We've done it for a number of years, but we've now mainstreamed that budget into future years so it can continue.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed. So now, Councillor Price.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, just to confirm a couple of quick points. The as Councillor Godfrey is fully aware, the brown bin is not a tax. His comments are incorrect. You don't have to have a brown bin if you don't require one as well. You also have alternatives as far as the green agenda is concerned. So you could be using things like composting, and to dispose of your green waste as well to your local tip is also free. So there are alternatives as well. And as I said, we've also frozen the price of the brown bin for the next 2 years as well, so there'll be no increase in costs. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Price. So now that was, I think we've probably disposed of page six members. Oh, hang on. Yes. Councillor Price, you've still got your hand up.
Apologies, Chair. I shall put it down. Oh, no, it says it's down.
Councillor Godfrey's got his hand up now.
I don't think the people of Stafford Borough would consider the £30-odd for having your brown bin emptied every year anything other than a tax.
Hear, hear.
Well, I must admit, I have mine done and I think it's a tax. Okay.
You would.
Page seven now, we're on to page seven. Anything? No, nothing there. Nothing excites your imagination there. Page eight. Page nine. This shows us, of course, the problems we could be hitting in 2023-24 and 2024-25. Councillor Godfrey.
Yeah, it's page eight, Chair. I can't get the mouse to work quick enough. It's just really the officers and maybe the cabinet member could give us some updates on where we're up to with new homes bonus. As members will be aware, Stafford Borough Council has done extremely well out of new homes bonus over the last few years, literally because of geography. And we're in a position where houses can be built, and therefore Stafford Borough Council has reaped the benefit of that. Now, obviously, with the winding down of the scheme, that's going to have implications on the budget as a whole. So, first of all, can I ask an officer to confirm that the winding down of the scheme will hurt our budget? And secondly, can I ask Councillor Smith the same question?
Right, if we get an officer's view first, who'd like to grasp this particular hot potato?
I'll make a start. Yes, it's true. We are assuming that new homes bonus will largely disappear from the year after next. The government has rolled over the rules about new homes bonus, so that's enabled us to include new homes bonus in 22-23, which has been beneficial. We hadn't assumed that this time last year, but nonetheless, it's still proposed that it will end in its current form. What we don't know, and this is one of the big areas of uncertainty, is what will replace it. And the difficulty with knowing what will replace it is we're not clear yet what the government's objectives are. From the council's point of view and from local government's point of view, new homes bonus means that we can receive funding to pay for services for new homes that have been constructed in the borough. The government would see it as an incentive to build housing. And it's difficult to know what government policy will drive the future of new homes bonus. Will it be planning for the future? Will it be controls around planning? Will it be to build homes in certain locations or certain types of homes? Now, where does affordable housing fit in? These are questions we don't have the answer to. So we can't yet predict what the future income stream is going to look like for new homes bonus.
All right, thanks very much indeed, Jim. Thank you. Councillor Smith, would you like to say something?
Thank you, Chairman. Well, there's not much to add, is it? I mean, the budget quite clearly shows, as Bob said last year, and as it's been said many times tonight, there are so many uncertainties, we don't know what's going to happen. But Tim has produced a budget for this year and a proposed one for next year, taking into account, as far as he can, the information he's got. And as he's just said, everything is still up in the air. Unfortunately, the government have given us a grant this year. This particular council got a grant. The lower tier council's got a grant. And we're okay for this year. Basically, what we said last year has just been postponed for another year. The problems will arise next year. But the government may well introduce something different to replace the new homes bonus as it is at the moment. But what we got in front of us is the best estimate we can put forward at this present time. And I would say that Tim and Bob, like Bob, always approaches things in a very prudent manner.
Fine. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Councillor Booth. Okay, we'll move on to page nine. Okay, I've got Councillor Godfrey, Councillor Winnington.
Thank you, Chair. Actually, it was page eight, actually. You moved on a bit quick for me again.
Okay.
Yeah, just a quickie on it. It's the lower tier service grants. I have to say, when you look at £111 million for the country, it's absolutely dreadful. And Stafford Borough Council's proportion of it, if I read it correctly, is less than half a million. It's £455,000. And that's to provide some very, very important services. I think that's absolutely lousy of central governments for the money that they give us to provide these really, really important services. It's dreadful. And I think it needs commenting on.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Godfrey, for that. Councillor Winnington.
Yeah, I tend to agree with what Mike Smith said. To actually put a bit, and I obviously have got a business, to actually try and budget going forward with the increases in prices in places, the drop in income, or the possible increase in commodity prices, is incredibly difficult. And we've got to applaud the officers for doing what they have. And I think when you go back to central government, they've got to decide what to do about business rates. We've got to pay for furlough. I think as the support we've had as a council over the last couple of years has been incredibly generous, and it's time now for us to sort of try and sort ourselves our own budgets out. And I think this is a good solid budget considering the amount of what ifs that we've got no real control over.
All right, thank you, Councillor Winnington. I'm sure that we all agree as a committee that our whole finance team do a splendid job and are doing a splendid job and will continue to do a splendid job and make the very best of what they can. They will try and make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. They will do their best to do that. So nothing we should say should detract from the great effort which they put in on a daily basis to the work that they do for this council. I think we could all agree on that. If we agree on nothing else, we could agree on that, I'm quite sure. So then we move on to Councillor Smith. Councillor Smith.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to come back to what Councillor Godfrey says about money from the government. I mean, it isn't a lot in comparison with what's being granted across the country, but you do have to remember that if you will go back and look at last year's budget, there was a paragraph in there which talked about fair funding. And there was always been a risk that this council might have to pay money back to the government because the grants we were getting were very good. Because this council or this area is relatively prosperous. And that is why we don't get big sums of money in those sorts of grants and those sorts of allocations. So, you know, I think we've got 431,000, was it? Which is that right? I can't remember the figure. But, you know, yes, a lot more would be nice, but we are where we are. And the government thinks we're a particularly well-run authority and doesn't think that we need the money. Whereas other big local authorities quite clearly do. They have a much bigger requirement for basic funding, mainly in the inner city areas, which is where they get the money. Thank you very much, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Smith. Councillor Godfrey, your hands up.
Well, that's very interesting, Chair. I'm glad Councillor Smith informed us of that. So basically, the government thinks Stafford Borough Council is a very, very well-run authority because it doesn't spend any money. I think the people of the area should realise this, and that's next time they find that certain services are disappearing before their very eyes, that Stafford Borough Council is a very well-run authority because it doesn't spend money.
Right, thank you very much for that, Councillor Godfrey. Right, so now we're on to page 9, I think, are we? Page 9, any advance on that? Page 10. Councillor Smith, your hand is up. Do you want to speak?
Let Councillor Godfrey get away with that, Chairman. Two new leisure centres, fantastic Victoria Park. Come on, we don't spend money. We've done far more than any other local authority. Every other local authority is closing swimming pools down. We built two. Come on, Councillor Godfrey, let's move on with the report. It's a basic report. It's a balanced budget for the year. The problems will arise next year.
Well, it has to be a balanced budget by law. There's no way we could have a budget which wasn't a balanced budget. If we were having a deficit budget, the government would be sending their inspectors here. We've got to, by law, have a balanced budget. There's no question.
That's what we've got before us, Chairman.
Well, we must have. That's right. That's a basic thing. You have a balanced budget. We're not allowed to have a deficit budget. And if you have a surplus budget, well, you just bung it into reserves, don't you? Sorry, now I have Councillor Godfrey and then Councillor Trowbridge.
As Councillor Smith knows probably much better than I do. Projects like Victoria Park are very heavily into the grants that were given by, in Victoria Park's case, the Heritage Lottery Fund. And also when we start looking at other major projects in the town, again, grants, we're looking at the Future High Street Fund, grants again, you know, let's get this straight. There's not an awful lot of money being spent by this administration.
Thank you, Councillor Godfrey. Councillor Trowbridge. Councillor Trowbridge, you're muted. You're muted, Councillor.
I'm coming. Thank you. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can't believe what I'm hearing. Yes, that says grants for leisure was one of them. And I do believe Aidan was one of the ones so against Freedom Leisure coming to Stafford Borough. Have you been to the Gatehouse lately? Have you seen all the new things there, how it's been done out? Have you seen how they've brought in all the new chairs in the small theatre? Everything that's changed there is down to sensible budgeting, looking ahead, seeing what's needed to make things run smoothly. We haven't closed anything. We didn't close the Gatehouse Theatre when we were short.
Councillor, I'm sorry. I'm trying to see where this is relevant to page 10.
Because the 455,000 that's coming from the small grants or whatever was just discussed, leisure is what it's for. If you look, it's for homeless, it's for leisure, and a few other things. And there has been a lot of money spent on leisure, but sensibly, and there's a very good direction with leisure.
I think you've made the point, but I'm still trying to find where it would be absolutely relevant. We've got a lot of pages to get.
Because I have just heard that we as a borough aren't spending money on leisure. Well, we are, and we're spending it in the sensible way so that we keep all our services. I didn't get what Aidan was trying to say.
Well, perhaps he's got his hand up, so we'll let him speak for himself then. Councillor Godfrey.
On another political point then.
Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Godfrey, and then Councillor Price.
I think I was speaking in response to what Councillor Smith said, actually. I didn't actually raise any of the points that Councillor Trowbridge had mentioned, but seeing as we have mentioned it, if we want to have a debate about Freedom Leisure and the Freedom Leisure contract, I would look forward to that at the appropriate time.
Yes, not now. Not now. Right. Councillor Price.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. It was just a quick point. Obviously, you're allowing certain members to speak for a set amount of time and get their points across. And then when somebody else speaks, like myself, and I'm sure you're about to interrupt me because that's what you keep doing, Not yet. There you go. So you're not giving others the opportunity to get their points across. You are the chairman. You should be apolitical and you need to be fair. And I'm quite honest with you, Chair. I'm not very impressed at the moment. So you need to up your game, please.
I think that's perfectly uncalled for, quite frankly.
And I stand by my comments.
I do hope we're not going to descend into this sort of rudeness and impertinence, because it's quite unnecessary, absolutely unnecessary. I try to be as impartial as possible, and I hope that most members of the committee recognise that. So now we go on to page 11. Page 12, page 13, okay. Councillor Pardisi, Councillor Godfrey. Councillor Price, I'm not sure, do you still have your hand up?
Apologies, Chairman, I'll put it down.
Thank you. Councillor Pardisi and then Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you, Chair. 13.2. We were told at one point that the government would cover the cost of the pandemic, but we're told in this paragraph that the council has been required to meet a significant proportion of the loss of income from sales fees and charges. That sounds to me like the people are paying for the pandemic, Chair. And surely if we're using the money from the sales fees and charges to make up for what we're not getting from the government, surely that's going to impact our work and the services we provide. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Pardisi. Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you, Chair. Actually, it's going back to page 11. I do apologise. It's my my mouse finger's not working very well. But first of all, I have to say I'm disappointed what Jonathan just said. I didn't recognise anything in what he said about your chairmanship, and I think that was unnecessary and wrong. Page 11. I'd like to ask Tim, or maybe Councillor Smith, if they could explain the council tax base to me and how it's calculated.
Tim?
Yes, I can do that. What we do with council tax is we have to work out the council tax base, which is, so we take what we have to multiply the council tax per dwelling by the council tax base. So the council tax base is the sort of number of properties, a composite calculation of the number of properties. But it also needs to factor in the fact that some people are entitled to through local council tax reduction scheme. That reduces the council tax base. So we work out what the council tax would be due on all council, all properties, deduct local council tax reduction to get to a net council tax base figure, and then we multiply that by band D equivalent rates, and that comes to the total amount of council tax, the income that we generate. Now, many years ago, when there was no referendums or cappings of council tax, very often council tax was the final piece in the jigsaw. You would work out how much money you needed as a local authority, and then you'd work backwards from there and say, right, that's what our council tax on a band D is going to be. But obviously now council tax is limited unless you want a referendum to increase it by greater than the government guidelines. Then the council tax calculation is just another one of those calculations that you build into setting the budget. It helps you build the budget. So that's the basis of the council tax calculation. And obviously we're talking here and in the report about the proportion of council tax that accrues to the district, the borough council. Not the fact that obviously the households are paying a much larger amount in council tax when you factor in preceptors like the county in particular, but also police and fire. I hope that helps.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Councillor Godfrey, helpful?
Yes, that's very useful. And as I say, I just hope Councillor Smith gets his head around that as well.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Godfrey. Well, that's page, that was page 11, wasn't it? So page 12.
Chairman, I wanted to answer that.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Smith.
I have explained in years gone by exactly what the council tax base is, and Councillor Godfrey clearly wasn't listening. That figure, 48490.39, is the amount of money that would be collected if each Van D house paid £1. That is a simple way of looking at it.
Right, thank you very much indeed, Councillor Smith.
Chair, could very quickly. It's a very simplistic way of looking at it.
Right. Okay, thank you for that, Councillor Godfrey. Councillor Smith, your hand is still up. Right, it's fine. Okay, page 13, page 14, and then we come to lots of figures. Page 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27.
Chairman, Councillor Godfrey's had his hand up for some time.
Sorry, Councillor Godfrey. He keeps moving around my screen.
Yes, I'm just trying to get back to the page I was on now.
Which page do you want, Councillor Godfrey?
Yeah, I'm just finding myself back now. Yes, just a bit of reassurance, really, Chair, if I can, from the Cabinet Member.
Page 13, 13.7,
and it has been touched on earlier this evening by Tim, as regarding this shortfall next year, looking for efficiency savings. I'd just like some reassurance that some of the crown jewels of Stafford Borough Council, or the few we have left, are safe in Stafford Borough Council. There's efficiency savings that we may need to balance the budget next year and the year after I hope it's not going to affect the service to the public or any other parts of Stafford Borough Council's responsibilities.
Right, thank you very much, Councillor Godfrey.
If Councillor Smith can give me that reassurance.
Councillor Smith?
Thank you, Chairman.
I think some reassurance of sort.
I think, was Councillor Godfrey talking about 13.7? I think he was. Well, the short answer is that the whole budget is set on the premise that services will not be reduced.
Right, okay, you heard it here first, Councillor Godfrey.
Well, if I can't, yeah, so it's a Labour point, but it's, am I on? Yeah. It's just the fact that it was touched on earlier on, and the question was asked very deliberately about the indicative budgets for next year and the year after. And it did come up that there may have to be some efficiency savings. Now, to me, being a layperson, an efficiency saving is a cut. And it's something that we're providing now that we won't be providing in the future. So just like a bit of reassurance from the cabinet member that nothing, say, like street scene will be leaving Stafford Borough.
Point of order, Chairman. Could we ask Councillor Godfrey to stop making political points, please?
Well, we are politicians, Councillor Dodson.
Not in scrutiny meetings, we are, Chairman.
We can be. Almost everything we talk about can be political. It may not be party political, but we are discussing politics. But Councillor Smith, did you want to come back?
Yeah, well, thank you, Chairman, yes. I mean, if Councillor Godfrey thinks that efficiency savings means cuts, then he needs an education.
Right, thank you. Thank you, Councillor Smith. Councillor Godfrey, your hand is still up, and then Councillor Kemp.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Again, I'm disappointed with Councillor Dodson. I mean, it's a council. We're elected councillors. Yes, it's politics. I'm sorry, it just is. And if you don't like that, perhaps you're not doing. You shouldn't be in the role you're in.
Right, Councillor Kemp.
He's up because you're going so fast. I thought you'd get to 33 before I could put my finger up. So I'm waiting for you to get to 33. Come on, Chairman. Right,
okay.
I'm sorry, the rattling cages.
That's all right. I'm on page 27 at the moment, members. 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. Over to you, Councillor Kemp. 33.
Hang on a minute. I've got it on the screen up here as well. The first thing to ask the officers is that looking at the figures, the outturn for management and development management. The figures there show that there's a drop in employee expenses for each year, for 1 year. I mean, it works out. You must remember, and I've always said, I'm not very good at maths because I'm a humanities teacher. For the benefit of Councillor Price and Councillor Trowbridge, that means Jack used to teach history, geography, and RE.
Thank you, Councillor.
I'm just explaining before they rattle the cage.
Let's keep to the paper.
Thank you, sir. Here we go. It's this business that, if you look at the outturn, say on the first one, management, it's 480,610. And you go to the next one, and there's a drop of something like 21. And then it goes back up, slightly goes back up. And then by the time we get to 29, it's back up even more than it was in the previous years. And that's reflected. And I've looked at other portfolios and it doesn't seem so bad there, but in planning and development management, it looks, as if we're losing somebody.
Well, Councillor Kemp, my understanding from the officers is that nothing over these 4 years implies any sort of redundancy at all. That's not built in.
Councillor Cook, Emma can answer this.
Yep, Emma.
Yep, through you, Chair. The management and support, the reason for the reduction is there's been a planning restructure. So there's been a reduction on the management support line, but if you look at the forward planning line, there's been a corresponding increase in it. So one's gone down slightly and the other one's gone up because there's been a restructure again in the planning portfolio.
Okay, right. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you for that.
And that development, answers. Do you want me to answer the development management one as well?
Please.
That's the forecast includes some one-off additional costs for 21-22, which is anticipated will fall out in future years to cope with workloads for this year.
Lovely. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Emma.
Okay, that's page 33.
Yes, 34. The off-street parking services. Now, as I said earlier, Emma, I'm not very good at maths, but the bottom line, it says off-street parking services net expenditure. And then you've got 416,620 in brackets. Now, in the past, when I've asked this question, they say, well, if it's in brackets, it means that's income, Jack. And if you look at the next one, it goes up by 89,000 for that. So I wondered why in actual fact, there is this assumed fall in the parking income. And we've got to have a transfer from resources. Because that shows that there is a net gain on parking when you take off all the employee expenses, etc.
Emma, would you like to answer that at all?
Through you, Chair. Basically, what we did last year, because we had some separate provisions put aside for parking, which is why they've transferred from resources. So the total reduction in parking is the total figure, which we've assumed would be 931,000 for 21-22. And we're anticipating that's going to increase slightly and get better for 22-23 and only have a reduction of 806,000. And then because we're trying to be prudent, we're saying that the income from parking won't go back automatically to pre-pandemic levels. So we're just trying to smooth it out. And obviously this time next year, we'll have another look at the parking income and check and see what's reasonable to include.
Fine. Thanks very much indeed. Thank you. Councillor Smith, do you want to say anything then? You're muted.
No, thank you, Chairman. It basically, Emma said what I said. I mean, it shows clearly that what the income is, the line above the line that Councillor Kemp was talking about, tells you the total costs or the expenditure 1349, income 1765. Therefore, the difference is the 416, which is income.
Right. Thank you very much indeed. Right. So that's page 34. 35, 36, 37, 38. 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55. This is where, of course, page 55, where the finance officer confirms that the budget estimates as presented are robust, and he hasn't quite signed it in blood, but that's what eventually will have to happen. And of course, the page after also confirming that the council's reserves are adequate. So we've seen that, and there we are. So that's saying it's all right. We can be sure of that. And then we come on to page 57, 58, 59, that's the risks, 59, 60. And then we have done that. So the next one, members, is gender pay reporting.
Chairman, just before we move on, could we just note the recommendation in the report?
Oh, yes, if we note, we've examined and noted.
Did, Mr. Chairman?
Sorry?
Noted.
Thank you. All agreed on that? I can see heads nodding. Jolly good. Okay, so now we come on to gender pay reporting on page 61. I think, is Neville here? Or
Mr. Chairman, it's Wendy Jennings. Mr.
Oh,
Chairman.
Sorry, Wendy. Yes, I saw Wendy. I've seen Wendy around. Ah, oh, Wendy, there you are. Yes, I thought, would you like to introduce the topic, please?
Thank you, Chair. This is the annual reporting for gender pay that we have to submit from a statutory point of view. I will say that whilst it is statutory, we could choose not to do so now because we have less than 250 employees, but we still choose to do so to be more transparent. As you'll see, we have a very positive outlook compared with what we could have. We have a gender mix that is almost 50-50. The fact that we've moved into a positive gender pay this year rather than a negative from last year is down to the fact that if we lose a very small portion of our employees, then the effect is significant. So it does impact quite simply. This year is down to the fact that we lost our people who were employed by SASOP that we hosted as employees, and they were predominantly female and high earners. So this is a snapshot. It does change very quickly. I think that the fact that our workforce is made up of a high proportion of women, but we do have a high proportion of part-time women as well, but that is a positive in the sense that we're able to offer flexible working options to professional women. We have a high proportion of professional and managerial women across the organisation. And it equates currently to a 30 pence per hour difference between the male and female. That could all change when I run the report, which we can only do once a year in any case. Quartile that is within that report for each group and how it's broken down is pretty evenly split. We don't have major impacts. So on the whole, we're satisfied that we have a positive view on gender pay. We maintain that and we do everything we can to encourage people, women in particular, to come and work for us. But we just have to keep an eye on it. But we would always want to employ the best person to the job at any point as well. I'm happy to take any questions that people might feel are appropriate. It isn't a significant change on last year.
Right, thank you very much indeed for that, Wendy. Thank you. Right, members, so I'll take this page by page. Page 61, 62, 63, 63, Councillor Hood.
Thank you, Chairman. Lovely to meet you, Wendy. I have to say, I was, first of all, highly amused and then extremely annoyed and then quite puzzled at 5.5. Very good that it says this scheme's been attractive with both male and female applicants. Excellent. But then the very last paragraph, which says recruitment to qualified posts continues to be a challenge in this area, but we have recently promoted and recruited females into the department. Good heavens, wonderful. I would hope, and I just heard you say it, Wendy, that you would always strive to employ the best candidate for the job. And I would hope that the borough will always promote and employ the best candidate. I think sometimes we do tend to be worried about the woke brigade. Do we have the same amount of females? Do we have the same amount of men? But I am really glad that you said that we will always promote the best candidate. So I really take exception to this last paragraph, as though it's some kind of rare breed that females are actually going to be promoted and be taken on. So I was glad that you said what you said, Wendy. Thank you, Chairman.
Thanks very much, Councillor Hood. Then page 64, 65, 66, 67. Councillor Bardesi.
Thank you, Chair. On 67, looking in particular at the part-time working and the ratio of men and women, this, of course, is part of a far wider picture as to why we usually have more women in part-time work. To a large extent, because there is not enough affordable childcare. There is very little housing close to a lot of women's support networks. And also it has an impact on things like trapping women in abusive relationships when they cannot be totally financially independent of their partners. And part-time working also, sadly, sometimes de-skills our women as well, because they're not able to use their talents and skills to their full extent. In particular, the last paragraph, it says that we do aim to accommodate requests through reduced hours, patterns of work and home working. Firstly, if I could just ask if that includes hybrid working. And does that offer of reduced part-time hours, does that extend through all levels right up to the very senior ones? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Pardesi. Wendy, could you deal with that point about hybrid working?
Yes, I think that the fact that we have been working in a hybrid manner has actually been extremely positive for females. The feedback has been that from questionnaires that we've done over the past couple of years. And it does work all the way through throughout the hierarchy. We don't have a view about any particular job at the moment that couldn't be done part time. I'm also an example of that, so I'm quite happy to support that. That we have never ever refused a request for part time hours either.
Right. Thank you very much indeed. Happy with that, Councillor Pardesi?
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks very much. That was page 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74. Right, so therefore we note that report as well. Thank you very much. So now the final item is the work programme, and the germane page is page 77. The only thing we were thinking about here was the possibility of a task and finish group put down there, so it's down on the agenda for activation at a particular point. And that was about an update on procurement policy.
Chairman, Councillor Trowbridge has a hand up, Chairman.
Councillor Trowbridge, thank you very much. Councillor Trowbridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, can I do an Aidan and go back a little way? I just wanted to thank Wendy for that report. It's nice to see that the council is well balanced with male and female, well balanced with pay. But I had just got one question. There's no remarks in that report about non-gender. And I wondered if it's something we also look into at the borough.
Okay, Wendy?
Or gender neutral.
We don't currently collect it, but we are amending what we do collect because of the requirements potentially changing. So we are starting to gather that information, but we always gather that information confidentially from any applicants. We've always separated any personal information on application forms since 2004. So managers have never seen that information at all.
Thank you, Wendy. And just thank you very much for that report. It was lovely to see.
Thanks very much indeed. Thank you, Councillor Trowbridge. So now back onto the work programme. We had suggested at the beginning of this meeting, which seems an age ago, we had suggested that we put in the review of the procurement system as a task and finish group without specifying the exact date at the moment. Councillor Godfrey, would you like to say so? You've got your hand up, I see.
Just to propose that, Chair, and I'm sure Councillor James will second me.
Councillor James.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Right, you're going to second Councillor Godfrey.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, thank you very much indeed. Everyone happy with that? Is that okay? Are you all content?
Yeah.
I'm getting lots of nods. Is there anyone who's against that? Okay. Thanks very much indeed. So we'll insert that into the task and finish review, task and finish review slot, as it were. Right, now, that's all we need to do. That's all our business dealt with, I think. So, Andrew, your hands up?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Yeah, just before we finish, there was a cabinet meeting scheduled for Thursday in case the scrutiny committee referred any item of the budget back to cabinet. But as the report has been noted, that is now not necessary. So what we'll do, we'll get a cancellation for Thursday's cabinet out tomorrow.
Right. Thank you very much indeed for that, Andrew. Thank you for letting us know that, updating. I've got Councillor Kemp, though, who seems to be wanting to say something. Councillor Kemp. I know you're muted, Councillor Kemp.
He needs to speak. Thank you for inviting Councillor Hood and I to this meeting. It was most interesting, and in particular, it was amusing to see the cages being rattled. And I do welcome those cabinet members who feel upset at your meeting come to mine. Right. Well,
thank you very much, Councillor Kemp.
Can I have to do
no,
that?
Right.
Right. Well, now, look at everyone. Thank you very much for coming along this evening to our officers and to our members. Thank you for coming along. Thank you for giving your comments, your explanations, your questions. It's all been very helpful. We've taken quite a bit of time, but I think we've done a reasonable job, a good job, in fact, of actually scrutinising the financial figures. So thank you again for all your help. Look forward to seeing you soon, possibly the council meeting or whatever. And meanwhile, enjoy the rest of the evening. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night.